Peter wrote, 1st and 2nd Peter, to a group of Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, who had been chased out of their homeland, and that because of their faith. They were persecuted. He calls them strangers who were scattered. That has not happened to most of us yet, but if I can speak to prepare us mentally, spiritually, for growing persecution, I will be doing my job. But beyond that, all of us are having difficulties. Some health difficulties, having some financial difficulties, or having trouble at work, trouble at home, trouble with the car. Everybody's having some difficulty. It's the way of life. And this is good advice for all of us as we have difficulties. What the apostle does here in this first great message to them is to say, yes, these things are a problem. Yes, they are painful. But we may praise God because what God has given us can never be taken away. If you recognize that an attitude of praise and thanksgiving is one of your greatest strengths in the midst of trials, you'll recognize the value and the wisdom of this message that he gives us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant or much mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, or for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, by way of introduction, and this is an extended introduction before we get into the actual text, but let me just say that the word blessed is Strong's 2128. We're talking about Strong's exhaustive concordance that has every word in the King James Bible listed, and then a number beside it. You can turn to the lexicons in the back and see what the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic is, and read the definition as though you were reading a Greek or a Hebrew dictionary. It is the word eulogetos, and the EU is the prefix meaning good, and then logeto is praised or even spoken. So it comes from the root good and to speak. And he speaks to the refugees with an encouragement to give themselves to the praising of God, speaking of good about God. You may not be able to speak good about your condition of life. You may not be able to speak good about the things that you're dealing with in your trials, but you will be able to speak good of God. And this is that liberation, you see. Now, before we examine how and why we should praise him, let us think of the concept of church praise. He's writing to all of these believers who have gathered in the churches in all these different areas, the letter basically being passed from church to church. But he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a command to them collectively. I would say to you, realize that this praise can be a group activity. In times of trial, do not be alone. You know, the world came up with this wonderful idea of having a support group. You know, God did that when he invented the church. He said, get together, help each other. But what do people do You see, when they're having trials in some areas, they want to gather with others, but they do it to an artificial joy. Party life, drugs, alcohol, sex, social media. I'm not saying it's bad to go on Facebook. What I'm saying is collecting of friends on Facebook is not how you get yourself out of the trials. It's artificial joy. Don't gravitate to artificial joy. But rather, reach out to fellow Christians in your church life so that you can give and receive several things. Spiritual help. It may be, Galatians 6:1, brethren, if or although a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We don't do this in pride. Since I'm the Holy One, I will tell you, weakling, how to act. We don't do it like that. We're saying, could I help you out here? Could I give you some insight? What does that mean to spiritual help? Well, warn the brethren against sin. Do you see something in your brother's life that you see is dragging him down? Warn him about that. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Be the one who with meekness and compassion warns your fellow believer, your brother, one another, against sin. And then challenge the brethren to grow. I have been most challenged in my spiritual growth by my wife. I can say that I haven't, you know, met some great mentor who led me through things, but coming home and finding my wife sitting at the chair with her Bible open beside the chair was a reminder to me I didn't have my devotions that day. She was the challenge to me. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's be that to one another. Share the spiritual insights that you gained personally from the Scripture. Learn the things, you know, express to others what you have learned. Challenge them to grow. But not only spiritual life, but emotional help. Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. We don't want to always be the sour-faced person. They said, boy, I had a great time. Oh, that's wonderful. You know. We want to be happy for them when something good has happened. But sometimes we just need somebody to weep. Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb knowing what he was going to do, and he wept with them. Jesus wept. He was weeping with those that weep. How do we help them emotionally? Well, we pray for them. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then receive their testimony of victory. This is the rejoicing with those that rejoice. Acts 22:12, this statement is said, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there. You see, they shared his victory with him. They encouraged him emotionally in a time of difficulty. And then, of course, there is practical help. We look around and we can, as people are going through difficulties, we can be of practical help. Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, which is the word meaning sharing, forget not. Don't forget to do that. We can be so self-centered, we forget to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We've been noticing in Hebrews 11 how that these men pleased God with their faith. Well, how can we be of practical help? Sometimes money. Acts 4, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which means the son of consolation. Well, what a great name. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This wasn't for apostolic shoes, laying it at their feet. This was because people in Jerusalem, believers in Jerusalem, were going hungry. There wasn't enough to go around. He sold a property, brought the money, and gave it to the church to help feed the people. He was concerned about giving money as a practical help. Also food. Sometimes we can share food. James 2, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you really super spiritual people step up and say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled somehow by somebody, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Have you showed any love? He says, when they have a need, share with them. Housing. Acts 21:8. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven deacons at the beginning, and abode with him. He just opened the house. And the we here sounds like the whole company. I don't know how many he had with him. And probably he didn't have a separate room for everybody, but there were mats for the floor. But there was shelter over their head. He opened his house for them. Giving of goods. Acts 2:45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. It was practical help when people needed something. Transportation. Acts 21:5, when we had accomplished those days, we departed, went our way, and they all, the people that they had ministered to there, they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Several times it mentions that they helped us on our way. They were giving them what was needed, perhaps even transportation. And then, I don't know how to say it, but expertise. Maybe you know how to do something that somebody else needs, you see. I was trying to think of an example of this, Acts 9:25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. I was hoping it was expert basket weavers, you know. You're going to lower him down over a wall, that'd be a pretty strong basket. And somebody says, well, you know, I make strong baskets, we could do that. So it may be that you have a skill, it may be that you have a talent, maybe you have an ability that you can share with someone who is in need. Well, these are all the concepts that God has, why he wants us to gather, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because we need to understand each other, to love one another, and to say, how can I help? How can I help? You know, praising God lifts you out of your troubles. Helping one another does the same thing. Lifts you out of your own difficulties. All right. Well, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him. Praise him. Seven reasons, quickly. Number one, praise his character. He says, which according to his abundant mercy. He's a merciful God. Remember that mercy is that quality that refrains from delivering deserved punishment. We deserve the punishment. But God in his mercy said, I'll hold back. So remember God's mercy when he seems angry. The psalmist did that, Psalm 6:1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He's praying, talking to God. Remember his mercy. Then rejoice that he's not like the world's gods. Exodus 12:12. God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And so I've chosen an example where he's actually smiting people, but this was to show his superiority over the gods of the world. I was watching a show on TV, and they were looking at the temples in India, the old temples. These horrible, I mean, talk about Halloween scary stuff. These were scary idols, you know, and they're worshiping or bowing or something. Again, I can't take too long on these. And number two, praise his benevolence. I like the word, but maybe you don't know that word. Merriam-Webster says, benevolence is a disposition to do good, an attitude that wants to do good. Praise God's benevolence. He says, God hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope. Begotten again translates the word for to be born again. That's the new birth, the salvation. And lively translates the present participle of live, meaning living. So as he will develop later, this hope, this living hope, is in the living God. And it is concerning the promise of the return of Christ. Why do we see his benevolence here? Well, first of all, God did it, not us. You see, he had to sacrifice his son so that we could receive salvation. We can't just choose to be saved. It took the sacrifice of Christ. So God did it. We didn't. Praise him for his benevolence because he gave us spiritual life, delivering us from spiritual death, which is forever. And again, he gave us a better family. You know, the new birth, you're born into a family. He delivered us from an abusive father. That was the devil. John 8, Jesus himself said to the religious leaders, you are of your father, the devil. And he's not a good father. A third praise. Praise his sacrifice by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want you to remember, as you're praising God, that he suffered the death of his son. This is not a simple thing. In other words, a father-son relationship here on earth is a very important thing, and to lose a son is a very difficult thing. But magnify that by infinity, and you understand the relationship God had with Jesus Christ. And to see him die, knowing that he would be raised again, but the suffering and the death and the dying, that was all very real. Matthew 3:17, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again in Matthew 17, while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. To watch him die on the cross for people like us. Then recognize Christ's resurrection gave you new life. This sacrifice was for a purpose. Romans 4:25, Christ who was delivered to death for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Part of our salvation experience actually was done by his resurrection. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, in our spiritual rebirth, should also walk in newness of life. Christ was raised not to his old life, but to a new kind of life, an undying life, a new quality of life. And so are we. That's what the resurrection pictures. His death is dealing with our sin. His resurrection is establishing us in our Christianity. A fourth reason to praise God. Praise his glorious purpose for us. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's a glorious inheritance. It's called incorruptible, meaning it's no longer subject to decay. Undefiled, The word literally means unpolluted, not spotted, and fadeth not away. This is the word that they use for plant life, unwithering in this case. And then it says, reserved in heaven. Reserved. This focuses on our heavenly inheritance, not our position in the millennium or something. Reserved is the word for guarded, patrolled, as it were, and expresses watchful care. Our heavenly inheritance involves our position as a son of God, being accepted into the loving family of God. There's a fifth reason to praise God, even in persecution and problems. Praise His protection. He says, who are kept by the power of God. Kept is literally are being guarded, are being protected by a military guard. And who does it say is on guard? God Himself. In Romans 1:16, power of God is mentioned, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. You see, the gospel is God's pledge of salvation, and He will guard that pledge. The gospel is His word that you can trust, you see. And so, as we might imagine, a military guard protecting some family, we have God Himself being the guard protecting us. It may be true that in this life they may take our stuff and they may take our freedom and they may take our life. But they can't take what God has given us. It's kept. Kept by the power of God. If they take our life here, they have just delivered us to eternal life with Him. That's not so bad. Again, number six, praise His method of connection. What do you have to do to connect with God? How much does it cost you? Do you have to pay it in gold? You have to cross a room full of broken glass on your knees? What is His method of connection? He says, through faith. God says, you want to connect with me? Just trust me. Through faith. You see, the oldest person here, the feeblest person here, the youngest person who can understand can trust. It has nothing to do with your station in life, your position, your money, your status, your influence. Not by strength of might or power. That doesn't earn you anything with God. Not by intellect or study. That's not your connection. Not by purity or abstinence. People trying to beat themselves and cut themselves and stuff to show God how worthy they are. Doesn't work. But by believing God. You take His word. You open it up and you read what He had written for you. And you say, you meant this? Yes. I can trust this? Absolutely. With your life and beyond. The connection to Him is just through faith. And then finally, praise His ultimate deliverance. The trials that we face, they're very temporary. The Bible says, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, the created beings, waiteth for the manifestation. This is that revealing of the sons of God, revealing the disclosure of the sons of God. It's kind of a funny thought to me to realize that people that see or talk to me, you know, I go to Hardee's in the morning and do my reading and writing and drink my breakfast iced tea. And they say, well, he, you know, nice old guy, you know, always seems pleasant and all that. And at some later date, I'll be revealed as a son of God. It's like, wow, I didn't know that. Never expected that from a guy like that, you know. What an amazing time when the sons of God are revealed. In 1 John 3, 1 and 2, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let that weigh on you just a bit. To be called God's own son. To have that close a relationship with the Almighty. That's the manner of love that he bestowed upon us. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. What? Because it knew him not. Oh, we're related. They didn't know him. They don't know us. They don't recognize us as anything important. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be when we're manifested. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Just as the world didn't know him, they don't know us. When everybody has to acknowledge him, that will affect us. For we shall see him as he is. I've told this story before, but I love telling the story, so I'm going to tell it again. A missionary labored for many, many years in a foreign land. And it was only as his health began to break that he had to retire and come home. And he flew home, landed at the airport, and he looked out, and there was this huge crowd of people, and they had signs, "Welcome home." And there was actually a little impromptu band over there with trumpets and drums and things. And he thought, this is really amazing. I didn't expect anything like this. And so he came to the door of the plane, didn't have those things there at that time. He had walked down. And as he looked out and smiled, nobody said a thing. The band didn't start to play. So he walked down and he had to kind of make his way through that crowd. As he got to the door of the airport, the crowd erupted. And he turned around and he looked, and it was a sports guy that had been over someplace. And everybody went crazy. And he walked in by himself, and he got his luggage. And he took a cab, and he went to a little motel. And he lay down on his bed, and he said, "God, I spent all this time serving you. When I come home, nobody cared." And that was when it came to him, as though a voice from God. He said, "Oh, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. Things can be difficult for you here and now, but you're not home yet." And when that is manifested, as the song says, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you give to us seven great reasons in these first few verses to lift our voices in praise and say, "Blessed be our God." Now, Father, there may be some here that are going through some special trials. We think of the Quillen family that lost their son. We ask that you might help us to realize that these difficulties are real. They may bring a great deal of sadness to us, but it's only temporary. And you are forever. And our relationship with you is unchanging and unchangeable, guarded by you. kept by you. Now I ask that you might help us to recognize that we may lift our hearts in praise for who you are, what you've done, how you've connected to us, and your love. And all that you've asked back is that we love you even as you've loved us. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps today you would say, Pastor, I'm going through some difficult times and I've frankly felt pretty sorry for myself. But I recognize that if I, in fact, am a child of the King, that this is just temporary. And one day, it will be revealed that I'm a son of God. One day, we'll look back and say, these were problems for the time. But it will be worth it all. If you can today lift your heart in praise to God and say, I look to Him to deliver me from all the difficulties and keep me firm and strong even as I struggle. I wonder if you'd slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. That's my prayer. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. We all have difficulties. But we may all choose to praise God. Is there another? Pray for me. Help me to stand strong on the grace that God has given. Pray for me. Father, then we thank you that we have an opportunity this day to turn our attention to Thee, to lift our eyes to the things above and not on the things below, to realize that it is painful, but the pain will not last. There are those who give themselves to this world, who have the joy and have the ease in this life, but when they die, it will be all pain and darkness and isolation. And Father, we do not want to be them. Give us the difficulty here and the glory forever after, and we'll thank you for it. We praise these things in Jesus' name. Amen.